I had a great time yesterday, just allowing the Holy Spirit do what he wanted to do. And I walked up to this counter to order some coffee, and I bounced up and I said, "Hey, how are you? Happy Saturday." And I said, "I'll take one of them medium grande coffees." She said, "You're awfully happy today." And I said, "Are you kidding? Of course, I get to go to heaven. And you could be happy too, and you could go to heaven too if you ask Jesus in your heart. You know Jesus loves you, right?" She goes, "Was that a grande that you wanted?" It was a fun time. It was just amazing. And how we were able to get in a cab with a cab driver. I love my cab drivers. They're contained. They can't get out. We're like, "Hey, dude, how are you? My name is, what's your name?" And I said, "Is there anything I can pray with you about right now? You know, is there anything we could just, you know," we love to pray. And my wife and I love to pray. So we always ask people when we meet them if there's anything we can pray for them about. He goes, "Well, not right now." He said, "Everything seems to be going pretty well." I said, "Oh, okay. And, you know, it's interesting. I told him, I said, "I've learned something. The most important person that you'll ever meet is the next person you run into." And I said, "Tom, you're the most important person in my life right now. I want you to know that God loves you." "Well, thanks a lot. That means a lot. Thanks a lot." I could tell he was getting a little nervous. But I wasn't nervous. So T and I were walking through the airport and returning from this conference. By the way, it's just amazing. I have to tell you more about it later. But we don't carry bags. You know, we don't check bags. We just carry a backpack. And so we're walking out of the terminal, and I don't know why. It's just that you always go to baggage claim. So we're walking downstairs to baggage claim. We looked at each other and went, "We don't have any bags. Where are we going?" She goes, "I don't know." So we turned around, but Holy Spirit knew, because that gave us just enough time for the two young mothers to show up at the escalator with all their bags and baby carriage. And she was trying to negotiate the escalator. And I thought, she can't take that baby carriage down the escalator. That's going to be tragic. See, so we need to help them. I said, "You mean I need to help them?" So up the stairs we went, and I said, "Excuse me." I said, "Let me help you with that." "Oh, wow, that would be really nice." And so I picked up the baby carriage. I was showing my muscles, you know. I picked up with one hand, bag in the other, and I walked down two flights of stairs. And I set them down. And I told them, I said, "You know that Jesus loves you guys so much. And I just want you to know that today." And she's like, "Okay, thanks, you know, thanks." And I walked away, and I was just rejoicing in the fact that we get to share our faith. How many have a chance to share their testimony or their faith or tell somebody that Jesus loves them this week? Let me see your hand. Anybody? Oh, man, lots of you. Well, lots of you did it. So I'm just going to pray that you get bold and start telling people about the love of Jesus, right? Because we want everybody to go to heaven. Did you know that every person that you'll ever see is eternal? They're eternal. They're either going to live with God or they're going to live without God. They're eternal. And so we have an opportunity to share the plan of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Wow, what a message, huh? It's exciting, it really is. Well, I have a message today that you guys were all up in this message, the worship team. It was just, I don't know if you knew about what I was preaching on or what, but just an amazing message. When they sang that last verse or chorus, the last verse about standing before the Lord in righteousness. And I've received this revelation here lately, and it's just touched my life so much. And I just got to get through this today without breaking down, you know. But It's just so powerful when you think about we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's astounding to me because I know me. And some of you know me too. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So let's dive into the word. You want to dive into the word for a few minutes? All right. It'd be like just pull up, you know, close to the fireplace, get your slippers on. Let's get in the word, open up your Bible. Let's go to Revelation, first of all. I've got a lot of scriptures I want to share with you. But my prayer is that I'll be able to communicate this truth to you and you'll leave this place this morning going, wow, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me of all my sin. That's really the goal. I want you to leave here with a consciousness of the fact that you're forgiven. And look at Revelation 12 and verse 11. Can we read it together? Let's do it together. Let's make this interactive, all right? Come on, read it. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now they're talking about the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself, the devil, powers and principalities, the one that would try to condemn you and shame you, the one that would try to confuse you. It says they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And of course, they did not love their lives to the death. Now I'm going to tie those three statements together and make one statement out of it rather than three additives. Well, I've got to remember, I've got to plead the blood, and then I've got to give my testimony about how good Jesus is, and then I have can't love me, I've got to love God. You know, sometimes we try to compartmentalize Scripture. Let me try to blend this together and say, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony about the blood of the Lamb. And they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, they realized that there was nothing in their own blood, nothing in their own life that could overcome the enemy. It gave it all to Jesus. He's the only way, right? He's the only power to overcome sin, Satan, sickness, and self. That's important for us to know. The word of their testimony is powerful here because the word testimony means to do it again. To do it again. That's why Romans 8 says now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? Now, you know the devil likes to come and condemn, right? You should have gave more. You should have prayed more. You should have done this, could have done that. You know, all of those things. He likes to come and say, who do you think you are worshiping like that? I know what you did this past week. I know how you talked to your wife. I know the thoughts that you had. They were not very nice thoughts. See, the enemy likes to come and accuse and condemn and shame. But how do they overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb that forgives us of our sin. But look at this, the word of their testimony. In other words, they said, blood, do it again. Blood that forgives, do it again. My testimony is that the blood can cleanse. Back in 1974, April 21st, about 11 p.m. in the evening, and the same blood can forgive and cleanse last night. The blood still speaks. It's the word of their testimony. How do you overcome the enemy? The blood of the Lamb. If you start trying to overcome the enemy by your works, you're in trouble. You can't work the work of righteousness. You and I can't be good enough. We can't pray enough. We can't be the right kind of Christian to accept, be accepted. It's the blood of the Lamb. Right there, you ought to just say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Come on. Why? Because every time the enemy comes with an accusation, sometimes the devil doesn't come, sometimes people come. I'm not saying people are the devil, you know, I'm just saying sometimes the devil uses people, right? The devil will use someone to say something to you to cause you to be shamed or cause you to be condemned, to reject you, to speak evil of you. or to give you reasons why you're disqualified, why you're not accepted, why you're not good enough. Oh, family's real good at that. Now, understand something, that when those accusations or those evaluations come to us, we have to make a decision. Either I'm going to try to stand and oppose it with my will, or I'm going to let the blood speak to me. Not only to speak to the accusation, but to speak to me. Wait a minute. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. I like Romans 8:1. I've already talked about it. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Wow, that's powerful. So that tells me that if I'm in Christ, when Father looks at me, He looks at me through Christ. Wait a minute, Galatians says this, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. I have to tell you, like I told my waitress at the restaurant this week, excuse me, did you know that this man sitting across from me has died? I said, literally, he died. And God raised him up. As a matter of fact, that woman there, she died. He died and I died. We're all dead sitting at this table. But Jesus made us alive. She's looking at us like, okay. Christ has made us to be alive unto Him. What a blessing. What a blessing. So I have to go to those comments or those statements or those evaluations or the disapproval or the rejection of others. And I can't allow them to define me. Your identity is not in the evaluations of others. Your identity is not in the performance or the expectation of church people or pastors. Your approval is by God, based on the blood of the Lamb that has been applied to your life. If you by faith have received Jesus, then you know something about yourself. And your identity is that you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. That's powerful. So what I have to do when these accusations come, or the evaluations come, or the condemnation comes, I have to say, wait a minute. No, I hear a different voice. I hear a voice that Jesus heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus isn't well pleased with me. Why is He well pleased? Because the blood has been applied to my life. And I know this, that if I do sin, I have an advocate with the Father. That I can go to Him and repent. I can confess and I can be forgiven of my sin. Because the blood, if it forgave me back in 1974, it will forgive me in 2015. It'll forgive me last week. It'll forgive me this week. Watch, Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. For the soul. What is the soul? The mind, your will, your emotion. Isn't that powerful? The blood atones the soul. It brings the soul into oneness with God. The devil wants to take you away from oneness with God. And he does that when he says, do instead of be. They're not called the do attitudes. They're called the be attitudes. And we understand that life is in the blood. However, do you remember in the Old Testament, in Exodus 29, They were instructed to put a lamb on the altar in the morning and a lamb on the altar in the evening. How many times did they have to do that? Twice a day. How many days? Every day. Why? Because if you offered the blood of a lamb that was spotless on the altar in the morning, surely that same blood would be enough for the evening. But Bible says no. You've got to do it at twilight again. Wait a minute. The morning, the blood that was shed in the morning was for what sin I may have committed through the night? And the blood that was shed of the lamb at twilight was for the sin that I might have committed during the day? And then you get up in the morning and it's like, again, again, again. Of course, it was a type that was going to point to the Lamb of God, that was going to take away the sin of the world. But the repetition of these sacrifices every day, morning and night, shows that no sacrifice was perfect and could take away sin permanently. The cessation of them was a token of the perfect atonement by Christ. That's why we don't offer up the blood of the lambs and the goats and the bulls, because Christ died once for all. Now what's the difference? Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and my sin my mother conceived me." There's not one person in this room that wasn't born in sin. Sin. We have a sin nature. You could try to do good works. You could try to go do good actions. You can try to talk yourself out of it. You could try to go see a psychologist and try to make yourself something that you're not. You could try drugs. You could try alcohol, stimulants, whatever. But the facts are, we were all born in sin. And if that's the truth, which it is, the daily sacrifice of blood spilled was imperfect, and it brought forth death. That's why there was a continual need for sacrifice. So heaven, watch this, heaven had to bankrupt itself. God became man. Get this truth in your heart this morning. God said, "I've got to do something about this problem. But there's no blood in the earth that can redeem once for all. So I know what I'm going to do." And he knew it in Genesis 3, right after man fell. "I'm going to send my only begotten son into the world. He will be born as a baby, raised without sin." Why do you think today all of these ridiculous articles being perpetrated? Huh? Being propagated. Why? You know why? Because they're trying to tell you that Jesus was married and he had sex and Jesus was a homosexual and Jesus really wasn't the Son of God. Why? Because they have to somehow malign the precious, sinless blood of Jesus. But his blood was sinless. Did you know the blood type is determined by the Father? Interesting enough, you know. Angel comes to Mary and says, "Hey, favored one, you're about to have a baby. I don't even know a man." "We don't need a man, because a man has brought us to this place. What you need is a God. And the Father, the Holy Ghost, is going to overshadow you, and he's going to give you a baby. And you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sin." God became flesh and was birthed into humanity without sin. Without sin. And the devil had to tempt him every possible way to somehow cause sin to come into his life. And yet, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." there in the wilderness, Jesus defeated the devil over and over again. And the Bible says the devil left him and waited for a more opportune time. But how many know that even while on the cross, if you be the Son of God, come down from there and show us you're the Messiah. And Jesus said, I'm staying right here. Because without the blood shed, there'll be no payment for the sin of the world. And he defeated the devil again. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest deception is when God came to Adam in the cool of the day. The word cool in the Hebrew means spirit. God came in the spirit of the day. And he heard, Adam heard the sound of God. He heard the voice of God. The word voice or sound in the Hebrew is G-O-L, gol, and it means this, roar. God came to man when he was in sin, and he came with a roar. He came with, I love you and I'm going to cover you. A roar like the sound of many waters. And in his hand was an animal skin. And he said, cover yourself with this, Adam. I know you've sinned, but you got to be covered by the blood. And Jesus came with a mighty roar, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he died. And the moment he died, the earth quaked, the heavens trembled, the demons screamed, the graves were opened, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, and there was a new and living way made into the very presence of God. Wow! Each of us sitting here today have about 10 pints of blood flowing through your body. About half of that, from what I read, is a liquid called plasma. And the rest consists of red blood cells. But you know, I found something interesting out about these blood cells. They die every 120 days. So the blood, if I'm understanding it correctly, that's flowing through my veins today is only 120 days or less old. And unless it rejuvenates itself, I won't have life because life is in the blood. And you know what that tells me is if it's every 120 days needs to be renewed, then your blood, sir, your blood, ma'am, can never atone for my sin. Because the life that's in your blood is temporary. But the life that was in Jesus' blood was eternal. Because there was no death in it. That's why it can forgive in 1974 and it can forgive in 2015. The blood that was sprinkled on the mercy seat is enough for our sin. Now I know a lot of people today, we don't call it sin anymore, we call it dysfunction. It's still sin, honey. We like to call it recovery. I'm recovering. Well, I understand the term. Let me tell you something. You could be on the real road to recovery all your life and never recover without the blood. That's why the old songwriter penned for us, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The life in our blood is short-lived and cannot redeem. Listen to Hebrews 9:22. I want you to see it because this scripture is so powerful. Verse 22, Hebrews 9 tells us all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hear that? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Look at verse 26. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You know, a lot of folks say, well, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Yeah, but he was just a man. Yeah, he was a man. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God. He was born as a man, yet without sin. And God so loved your life, so loved my life, that he would send his only begotten Son to be rejected and falsely accused, tempted every way, yet without sin, hung on a cross, become a curse for you and me. Because he knew there was no hope without the shedding of blood. That communion that you received this morning, friends, is more than a sacrament of the church. It is symbolic. It is applicable. It is in remembrance of what he's done. Oh God, without your sacrifice, I have no hope. Verse 28, so Christ was offered. Christ was offered how many times? Once, to bear the sins of many. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. That's important. That's why this morning, if you're here and you're not born again, your sins can be forgiven. Why? Christ died 2,000 years ago. His blood was shed once for the forgiveness of many. You're part of the many. I'm part of the many. There's not one person who cannot be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he doesn't cleanse just part of the sin. He cleanses all your sin. That's powerful. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. I really believe, once you get your identity right, and we'll talk about this later, you don't have to walk through your day sinning. The biggest part of the problem in the church is we have a sin consciousness. We don't have a son consciousness. And if you have a sin consciousness, you're going to constantly be tripped up, stumble. But Peter tells us in his first letter, we don't have to stumble at these things because we now have a son consciousness. We don't even want to sin. I don't want to look at your girly magazine. Are you kidding me? I'm a son. I get high on your joint. I'm a son. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know who I am. Jesus was telling his disciples, dudes, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and die. And Peter spoke up and he said, no, Lord, never. Never. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Get thee behind me, Satan. For you speak of the things of the mind of men. Let me just throw this out here. Man's wisdom is demonic. Period. Period. You're not that smart. Apart from Christ, you're demonized. You say, well, wait a minute. What are you trying to say? I'm a good person. Here's what John 8:44 says. I don't care how religious you are, unless you're born again, your father's the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. That's why we're so easily persuaded by lies. Because it's our nature. You and I need a new nature. If you're born again, you need to be re-fathered. Some of us have been born again, but you haven't been re-fathered. In order to be re-fathered, you have to become a son. Fathers have sons. And in the kingdom, we just have a bunch of little Christians walking around with a sin consciousness, trying to do the works, living under the law, living under condemnation, living under the evaluations, assuming an identity of failure. Look, we're not going to do everything perfect, but I don't have to. I am in Him. He's perfect. And you can become angry with me, but guess what? You're not going to change my identity. God says He loves me. He's pleased with me. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, Christ was born apart from sin. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is probably one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. So if you could put it up there, and if you could read it with me, that'd be incredible on this snowy Sunday morning. You want to do it? Okay, let's read it. Ready? For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. How do you become the righteousness of God? You have to be in Him, not in church. Got to be in Him. In Him is the righteousness of God. And God made Him to be sin. This is incredible. When Jesus cried out on the cross and He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Father looked away because the sins of the world were laid upon Jesus. My sin was on Him. And the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Blinded by the God of this world. Think about it. But then Christ came to me. He wooed me. The Holy Spirit wooed me. And He said, I love you. Even in your messed up state, I love you. And I've got a great plan for your life. I can do incredible things in you. He made for Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You know, the most imperishable element on earth, I'm told, is gold. What I'm told is you could take gold and put it in the sea and come back 50 years from now, 100 years from now, hundreds of years from now, and it still looks like gold. Is that incredible? That's almost imperishable. But not in the sight of God. Look what Peter says about it. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. Come on, look at it. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things. So the very thing that you're trusting in, thinking it's incorruptible, Jesus said, no, you weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I don't know when I'm going to get to it. I think, Lord, there's too much truth and not enough opportunities to teach this. But New Age philosophers believe you can reach a consciousness of Christos or the cosmic Christ. No, it's not Jesus of Nazareth. It is coming into oneness with the divinity that's already in you. Consciousness that you are the divine one. And knowing that the only thing separating you from your divinity is your ignorance. And you could reach a level of Christos or cosmic Christ. That, my friend, is false teaching. If you go back to verse 18, the scripture is clear. Look at it one more time, please. If you can, go back one verse. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is powerful. There is no psychology that removes the stain of sin. You could go to your psychiatrist, your psychologist, your therapist. You can hum with your legs crossed until you're out of breath. Burn candles and incense. It's aimless conduct. Because we're not redeemed by corruptible things. How can I give myself life when I die every 120 days? Church, don't be persuaded by these doctrines of demons. There's only one blood that will redeem, one blood that will wash away every stain, cleanse every sin. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The greatest power to redeem, Revelation 5:9, all have been redeemed, or all have redeemed us to God by your blood. I like that because, you know, the blood forgives all sin, not just some sin. And when the devil comes back and goes, yeah, remember what you did there? I'm like, no. Why don't you remember it? Because the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed my sins from me. Yeah, I know, but you remember it. No. I've died. I have the mind of Christ. And if Christ be God, and God says he's removed it as far as the east and the west, and he's thrown in the sea of forgetfulness, then how am I going to remember it? I'm a son of God. I'm not like I used to be. I'm not operating and trying to serve God in my humanity. I understand now that I'm redeemed in my humanity. I now am a son of God on the earth. And I realize that I am no longer subject to the carnal nature. I had a funeral. Like I told my little Mexican restaurant waitress, all of us around this table here, we're all dead. We all died. And everybody in this room this morning, if you've given your life to Jesus, you're dead. Let me say that again. You are dead. Amen. And the next time somebody cuts you off on the highway, and you get angry, and inside you go, I'm not dead, but he will be. Know something. It's time to identify yourself as a son of God, as a daughter of God. And don't allow the devil to trip you up. Hebrews 10 and 20 says, by a new living way, he's consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Hebrews 9, 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Whoo! Look at verse 22 of chapter 9. Do you have 22? And according to the law, watch this, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary, because there is no remission of sin without blood, it was necessary that copies of the things of the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Verse 25. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. Keep going. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed for men to die once. And after this, the judgment. Now, let me put a twist on that scripture. Because we use this at funerals all the time. And I believe it's accurate interpretation, but let me say it this way. In light of the blood cleansing sin, in light of one-time sacrifice, making a new and living way into the heavenlies and declaring me the righteousness of God, and now I am a son of the living God. Watch. It's appointed for men to die once. Hey, April 21st, 1974. Whoosh! I died. Illyrio Gilbert killed me with a track. She put it in my hand. I read the track on the way to work, and I got saved. I died that night. But after this, the judgment. What am I to judge? Who's to be judged? Am I going to be judged? Of course, there's a beam of judgment. Of course, all of our works will be judged by Christ alone. But the judgment was at the cross. I've got the blood of Jesus. But watch. You lost my scripture. Go back. There it is. I judge everything now by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, you are a punk, Caton. Thought comes into my mind. You are worthless. Thought comes into my mind. Nobody wants you around. If they did, they'd be here. Thought comes into your mind. Look how you treated Tina. That sweet, innocent thing. And you made her cry. You were a dirty dog. Thought comes into my mind. It's been appointed unto me once to die. And then the judgment. I judge that thought by the blood of the Lamb. I judge that thought by the blood of the Lamb. I judge that thought by the blood of the Lamb. I judge that accusation by the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do it again, the blood. Forgive me. And not loving my life, even unto death. I know how frail I am. I know how weak in my flesh I can be. But by the Spirit of God, I can't even fill my lungs with air. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In front of every sports event, they'll sing it this afternoon at 3:30 when the Cavs take on the Rockets. Who cares? I do. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light. La 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 la. I feel like such a nerd in those times. Because I start crying during that song. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I'm so proud of you. I think of the people that gave their life. Their blood was spilled for this nation and the liberty that you and I have. And it moves me. But may it move you like never before when you look upon the flag of the red, white, and blue. May it speak as a testimony to you. May it speak over this nation and to the nations of the earth. The red stripes speak of sacrifice. The red stripes speak of the poured out blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over this nation that was founded upon godly principles and the Judeo-Christian ethic. May the blood be seen in the flag. May it be declared over our children. And the white The white speaks of purity. What can wash away my sin? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Amazing grace. I was a wretch, blind and lame. White, He made me pure. He made me holy. And blue, the promise of heaven. The promise of eternity. The promise of paradise. To be born again. Put your name on a roll at a church. To ascribe to some doctrine. Some ministry, some... And they're all good. I'm not saying ministry and church. And none of all that is good. But it's not enough. It will never get you to heaven. I realize something, that if I'm born again, I have to be reborn. I have to be re-fathered. That's why Romans says, my spirit cries out to Him, Abba, Father. I have to tell you, I was the stinker in Luke 15. I was the prodigal. I was the swine-smelling, miry clay guy who came to an end to himself and realized that my Father's servants are treated even better than I. And maybe if I go back to Him, He'll show me mercy. And wow, when the Father saw him, He said, my son, who was dead, is now alive. Go get a robe. Go get a ring. Go get some sandals. Kill the fatted calf. He was re-fathered. And some of you have not really identified with God as your Father. God has only been this mysterious, impending judgment seat about to whack you if you mess up. The prodigal messed up, but he came back in repentance, and the Father embraced him. Why? Because the blood of Jesus was sprinkled once for all on the mercy seat. The mercy seat was inside the veil. It was over above the Ark of the Covenant. The statutes, the testimonies, and the law. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And every day, that mercy cries out. The scepter of righteousness was lowered to you and me. And God's offered us mercy. Father, thank you for mercy. Thank you, Lord, that your blood says to me today that you died for my sin, that you rose again for my sin, that you took the keys of authority from the devil for my sin. You opened prison doors for my sin. There's an old adage of the church that's probably been misapplied in some ways, but yet a truth. People would say, you need to plead the blood. And people, I just plead the blood of Jesus over my house. I plead the blood of this. And they're just saying it because it's sort of like a saying. But there's a truth there. When the devil comes to tempt you to sin, plead the blood. Because the blood disempowers sin. It will defeat the devil. Listen, when you plead the blood, Satan remembers that day of defeat. Demons tremble. It's where he bore our sins. It's where he bore our sickness. It's where he tasted of death and took away. He took away the curse. Cursed. He took it away. The curse of death. That's why Paul wrote in his letter, "Death, grave, where's your sting? Where's your victory?" I plead the blood. I don't plead my church attendance. I don't plead my tithing. I plead the blood. I don't plead my good works or my good looks. I plead the blood. Because I understand Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of Hades and death." That's who you're serving today. You're serving the one who's been given all authority in heaven and earth. Whew! And he's given it to you and me according to Luke 10 and 19. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Not one sin greater than His blood. Not one. I don't care what you've done. He died for you. You can't save yourself. You can't outweigh your bad with your good. You've got to come to the cleansing fountain of the blood of the Lamb. Come to Jesus today. Don't turn a deaf ear. Don't walk out the door. And many of us this morning, if you could put up my slide, the confession. I want you to say this with me. Not as a ritual, not as some cliche, but out of your relationship with Him and thanksgiving to God. Let's just say it together. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. I command darkness to flee by the blood. I command all demons hindering me to be roasted. Every power stealing my virtue, die by the blood of Jesus. Any power diverting or hindering the blessings of God from coming to my life, your time is up. I'm redeemed, delivered, cleansed, and the empowerment through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I remember the first time I heard about 1,000 men sing a cappella. I was a new convert then. Lately, I've been thinking of my early Christian days. What's kept me? Praying people kept me. Loving people kept me. I saw the power of God's forgiveness operating in their life, and it kept me. I think, Tina, we were at Bill Gothard's. I don't remember. And they lifted their voice and sang, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And then they sing that part, redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. God, I didn't get that then. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I'm His child. I'm His son. I didn't get it, but it was a great song. Get it this morning. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God of the Most High. You have been forgiven. You get it this morning. Plead the blood the next time the devil comes and said, no, you're not. I said, oh, yes, I am. Not on works of righteousness, nothing that I have done. But all that He has done, I point to the cross. So I want to encourage you today to come to Jesus. If you're not born again this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, do it today. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You can't go to heaven any other way. There's not one religious leader whose organization can save you. Muhammad was a man. Hare Krishna, New Age, all birthed out of the traditions of men. There's only one that came from heaven, bankrupted glory, and gave His all. He died, was buried, went into the bowels of hell. The bowels of hell for you! You think about that. Break the back of the tormentor. Took the keys of authority out of His hand. The Bible says on the third day was raised again. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. He tricked the devil. Payment was made with the sinless blood of Christ. But when the devil tried to hold Him there, the Father said, you can't hold Him. He became sin who never knew sin to redeem. And now that I see the blood, you've got to let Him go because there's no legal right. And Jesus on the third day, you read about it in Matthew 28. My goodness, we're coming up on the resurrection. Woo, that's going to be a fun Sunday. The stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away. There was an earthquake. And Jesus came forth alive forevermore. And He appeared unto the disciples. He appeared to Mary. He appeared to 500. It is I who was dead but now am made alive according to Revelation 1 and 18. And Jesus can be alive in you. So this morning, if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, just throw that hand up. Say, hey, good golly, Miss Molly, I want to get saved. I'd like to give my life to Jesus. I want the blood to cleanse me of all my sin. Anybody? Okay, there's one. Anybody else? Hey, shoot, why? I'd be a fool not to. Are you kidding me? There's another. Thank you. You can put it down. You can put it down. Anybody else? There's three. It's like, all right, makes sense to me. Four, okay. A five or whatever it was. All right, how many here as Christians need to be refathered? Dude, dudette, me too. I need to be refathered. I need to get my mind renewed to the fact that I am a son. You know why? Because all the earth, all of creation is groaning for what? The manifestations of the sons of God. Can you imagine just the little bit of people that are here this morning be so excited about Jesus and so convinced that they're a son or a daughter and go get coffee and say to the little girl or boy behind the counter, hey, I'm a happy man today. And they'll say, well, why are you so happy? Because I'm going to heaven. And you can too. Can you imagine if every Christian in Lorain County would do that every day of their life? I know some people say, well, I just don't feel led of the Lord to talk to that person. My good friend Al is here this morning. And Al, you know about fishing. You have to get a little sinker on a line to pull that line down if you're going to get perch, because it's on the bottom, right? They go down low. And it's made out of what? Lead. It's made out of lead. Okay, here's what you do. You go to the pet store, you go to the, what do you call that place where you buy bait store, and you buy 10 lead sinkers. Put them in your pocket. Next time you meet somebody, put your hand in your pocket and feel lead. Oh, I feel led to tell you about Jesus. All right, what do you think? Can we do it? Sons and daughters, can we do it? Okay, I was supposed to try to end early. And I got to drive on 90. People are like funny on that road. I got to take an offering. They're like, why are you driving like that? It's snowy outside. But look, folks, the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, every weekend, it's either 24 below or we get a snowstorm. I saw an article in Yahoo News the other day. It said the churches in the Northeast have been hit so hard because of bad weather that some of them may even have to go bankrupt because there's been no offerings, there's been no services. And I have to tell you, we have really felt the pinch the last 4 to 6 weeks because of the low attendance. And I've learned something about some people, and that if they're not here, they won't give. And if they miss and come back the next Sunday, they don't say, well, I'm going to give for last week and this week too. Last week's over. So your financial help will be a blessing to the ministry. I'm not worried because I have a father. And I know my father's going to take care of all me. I looked at a little sparrow the other day and I'm like, dude, if he's going to take care of you, look at me. Come on, are you kidding me? God's going to take care of the ministry. But be a blessing to your church. Support it. Support it. And I've learned over the years The loudest complaints come from the cheapest seats. I really have. It's like the bleacher section at the Browns game, you know. Get the boom! Get him up! Fire the coach! You're the bleachers. What are you talking about? So let's give to the Lord this morning. Father, thank you for the gift of eternal life through Christ our Lord. Bless, I pray, this offering. Meet the need of the church. It's for your glory. Thank you for faithful friends. I'm grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to receive that. And then altar ministers, you're going to come up. And those of you that raise your hand to give your life to Jesus, I want you to come and pray with somebody. We're just going to give you a portion of the scripture, talk to you a little bit about what the next steps are. And it will literally change your future. So hope you'll take the time to do that. Those of you that need to be refathered, you have to kind of reconnect to your Father in heaven and know that He says you're of His beloved son or daughter and He's well pleased with you. Don't live under condemnation and guilt and shame. There's no shame in Jesus. There's a cross. Go there. Get it done. And walk away with your head high, your shoulders back, declaring the praises of God. And so if you need to do that this morning, before you go that way, look, we're always in such a hurry to go nowhere. Spend some time with Jesus around the altars. Pray. Turn around in your seat. Get somebody. Say, hey, would you pray with me this morning? Let's be a community of faith. I think that's important. When you're with family, family ought to support each other. So we'll see you next time. Don't forget midweeks, the Love Culture Experience, Thursday night. And then we'll be back next Sunday morning as well. Pray for us as we head on out on 90. I'll pray for you. God bless you. We love you. Come on up if you need prayer.